From Los Angeles, California, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled, Hold the Image of Completion. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
Somebody said to me, you know how to play tennis? I said, yeah. And they said, how? I said, just keep the ball on their side of the net. And they said, that's very simple. I said, no, it isn't. It's very hard. But that's how you play tennis. Just always over there, always over there. But see, some people don't really. They think that the game is in the racket. It's not. That's just a means, a method, a mechanistic approach of how you're going to keep that ball over there. That's all. In fact, in truth, if you jumped up in the air to hit that ball and it hit your hand and it went on their side of the net and they didn't get it back, you'd get the point. It doesn't have to hit the racket. It's just desirable. It's part of the rule. If you're golfing and you hit that ball in the air and it hits a tree and goes in the hole on one stroke, is that still one stroke? Yeah. But see, most people say, well, that doesn't count. It has to go from here over there and plop right in the hole. I say, no, it may hit and roll 10 feet and plop in the hole. The idea is in the hole. That's golf, right? In the hole. And those approaches towards it should be those approaches of learning, of unfoldment, of watching, of participating, of enjoyment of that. You people that are acting, they give you a script, and before you get it, you've almost ripped it apart through nervous tension. Why? Maybe it's not for you. So, well then, take it easy. Yes, you should approach it the same way. Whether it be for you or it's not for you, you wipe your hands off first so you won't smudge it. And then when you read it, the whole thing is you read and you start participating in that now. Not, oh, I can't get it. I'm not getting it. I won't get it. That's right. You won't. And when you go to try out for that, they'll say, you read real well, but you didn't get it. And the whole approach is I've got to get it. And so you must do all of those things that allows you to get it. And there's nothing in any place that you can substitute for that. But have you ever noticed that when you've got the rule, you sometimes wondered how you did it? It's like, I really read really bad. But they said I got the part. And then you go in there and say, hey, they didn't give me that part. They gave me another part that was as bad as what I read for. It's like, yeah. Strange it works that way. If you're going to get married and have success on the planet, you have to do all those things that produce marriage and success on the planet. It does not come that marriage is the end result. It is that moving constantly in the state of courtship, of closeness, of togetherness. It's that process of communicating to it. I was watching some tennis the other day, because there happens to be a lot of tennis on television. And the guy hit the ball wrong. And he was talking to himself. And the commentator said, oh, he's giving himself a lesson. And I just sit in the chair and I said, he is. He's giving himself a lesson. I wonder if he's a good student. The guy said, I hit it wrong. I've got to watch what I do. Okay, I can do better next time. Right? Okay, I got it. I corrected it. I'll hit it over. He won the set. He won the whole tournament thing. He taught himself, in the moment of his error, the correction, corrected it, didn't kill himself, didn't berate himself, didn't feel guilty, didn't have time for it because the other guy had crammed it down his throat. He had to come awake immediately alive and respond to the moment. And that guy, as far as I'm concerned, was playing over his head. He was just really playing. It was really nice to watch that. Why not play over your head? Your head doesn't know what's going on. But you inside, you do know what's going on. You've got to trust that. But for a while, you'll listen to the inner voice and it'll chatter to you. You think, that voice in there. I wouldn't pay attention to that either. That's a parrot. Saying, Polly wants a cracker, Polly wants a cracker, Polly wants a cracker. You give it a cracker, bleh. That voice you pay attention to. Because it'll often say, don't do it. It'll rarely say, go bet on the fourth horse in the fifth race of Hialeah or something. It'll say, save your money. Don't do it. And you think, yeah, but today I'll win. I'll win. It's like, you fool, you fool, you fool. I'm going to watch. And you go there and they say, this horse is going to win. I feel it in my bones. You slap down $10 right with them. They lose. Now there's two fools. You don't go by the feeling in people's bones. That's not a practical way to live in spending your money. What is a practical way? You look at it in terms of, if I spend this, how will that increase my spirituality? And it goes right back in your pocket. You say, well, but what if I win $10,000? The what if is the troublemaker. You can just as easily ask, what if I don't? And so you treat them both neutrally and you don't bet. Life has enough chances in it just riding down the freeway. Anymore, it's getting to be a chance just to drink the water. And we know that you're taking a chance if you eat the food. What else is there? Well, why do you care? It's all going to die anyway. You say, but JR, isn't it practical to live the best I can? Absolutely, and that's what we talk about. It's practical. Practical means it's for you. They say, why should I study for an examination? It's practical. What should I eat? It's practical to eat. Why do I eat fat foods? Because you no longer entered into the practicalness. You entered into negativity. And that is going to produce itself will be the fruit of your work. And by the fruits you know them. And I'm not kidding you a second. Should we go back to mind chattering? How do we stop the mind chattering? Watch your breathing. Control the breathing, the yogic process. In that space in between breaths, the mind will start slowing down. Will it stop? It's not designed to stop. Perpetual motion. But in between those gaps of chatter, you'll hear the silence that speaks, that roars your name and awakens you spiritually. But you got to get more gaps in there, longer and longer interstices. Then it starts coming through. And it won't come through the way it comes through necessarily anyone else. It comes through the way it comes through. And what do we say? Thank you, Lord. We say, hey, wait a minute. I want writing on the wall. That's what it said in the Bible. It also said the Tower of Babel. And when you get too high for the wrong reasons, it all becomes just a babbling process. And the deciphering of it, don't waste your time. It won't be a waste of time if you have the correct attitude. You say, well, I'll go into language deciphering. Well, you're getting good experience. But I don't know who else is going to be able to communicate in it. It's practical to learn that and be involved in that, that will be effective in its communication to other people. It's practical. They will then supply you with those things that will assist you, those things that will lift you. But if you don't enter into it, in that practicalness of it, have difficulty. Then you enter into that old master deceiver called the doubt. But let me tell you something, friends. And I'm going to use this in terms of mankind. It takes a man to walk the spiritual path and see the face of God. and the weak won't make it. And I don't care how clever you are at pushing a pencil around and adding up figures or how many words you know in a vocabulary text, if you're a coward, you're not going to make it. And that coward must be determined by the point of view you take and the point of view you stand upon to enter into the life process. And if you enter into it negatively, that's yours. And if you enter into it in that consciousness of oneness, you will conduct divine energy all around you, and the environment purifies itself. If you go into a place that's really bad, as it purifies, it's going to smack you in the head on its way out because it won't respect you either. So what we say, take it easy. Don't go to people and cram the light down their throat. They can't take it. Their negativity is going to be too much. They're going to fire on you and call you names to get you to stop. They'll yell at you. They'll be angry at you. What are they really saying? What are they really saying? What do you say when somebody, when you say, listen here, why don't you do what I tell you to do? What are you telling them? Give me your undivided attention on this project we're working on so we can get it done and out of the way. Would you mind? But they're not paying attention, so you place the energy in the level that draws their attention unconditionally, undivided, to that one point. Then they do something about it, and that's what you wanted in the very beginning. Let's do something about this. But that thing of us that we call thick-headed is precisely that, and you can't expect understanding out of it. You expect thick-headed out of it. That part of us that is the ego that blocks us resides right back here in the medulla oblongata. Not too many of the so-called spiritual people know that. And that part of us that identifies us as I, who I am, is right up here in the temples. This part up here gets so caught up with who I am that the ego back here blocks us by presenting energies that block the thinking. And then we start thinking erroneously, and we start forcing through our dominance, to move everybody into our way of doing it. It doesn't work that way. Many people work at it for a while, and they seem to have a lot of success, but it collapses. It falls. It deteriorates. It destroys. Then we say, why me? It's like, why not you? You set it up. It's like, but I didn't want to set it up. I know, but you did set it up. And you're responsible for it. Who else had a chance? Who else? You. Is there any hope? That's about all there is. And what is the hope? Well, possibly the hope is that you'll change your position. But it's highly unlikely you're going to. And that leaves pain. And that'll force you to change. And when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and just think about that. When you're sick and tired of lack, when you're sick and tired of all that, you'll change it by moving your consciousness from that. I received a letter from a young lady. Oh, John Roger, I'm sick, and this is wrong, and I'm fat, and I'm doing this, and I don't have a boyfriend, and I've only had 400 letters like that from her. So now if you're going to program the universal mind, you've done a good job. But why not talk about that moment of success when you didn't eat that extra stuff? Hey, I denied that, and I moved to another position. How about talking about today there was no headaches? Don't tell me about your backache. I know it aches. Talk about the healing. Hey, I'm on this new way of eating. I'm going to be feeling better all along. It's going to work for me. I'm going through a cleansing in my system to get rid of this. It's going to be better for me. Instead of, I sure hope this cleansing works because I'm so miserable and I'm so toxic and things are so bad and my boss won't give me a raise. I think, what on earth are you doing, smart one? Why not? I'm going to get myself cleaned up, present myself in that spirit, and they won't be able to deny me those things that are necessary for me. And I'm going to keep on with that until I get that. And I'm not going to hurt anybody. I'm going to take care of myself so I can take care of others. You see how that fits in? I'm going to participate in health, wealth, and happiness inwardly and outwardly. But first, I must participate inwardly. First, inwardly. We go to people to get healing, and they heal us from the outside in. True healing is from the inside out. And we enter into that. That will heal us. We enter into understanding. It's not that we don't have the dilemma, that we don't have the confusion. It's that we don't get caught up in it and worship it and bow down and keep on repeating it over and over as a sacred mantra. I'm confused. I'm depressed. I'm miserable. I'm sick. You immediately return to that concept of satsang, that concept of relationship with the spirit. Enter into consciousness of the traveler. Enter into that, and it will remove that process that disturbs you, because you then understand the divine conducting, that will conduct the energy down. You understand it. It takes place. It is taking place right now. Even when you're miserable, you just don't get much. It just gives you enough to be miserable to create more negativity. But like attracts like. And when you're like God, you attract God. The cliche, misery loves company. No cliche. True. True. To walk in the path of God, you must walk like God. To enter into living love, you must enter in like living love. You can't enter in crying and gnashing teeth and killing people and think you're going to get into it. That's another path. It goes another direction. If you want understanding, you enter into the path of understanding. You don't enter into the path of saying, you don't understand, get out of my way. But you say, what is it I can do for you? I was talking to a beautiful ashrami last night. And we were talking about working with mental patients. And she said to me, you know, I'm afraid to ask, what do you want? Because I'm afraid they're going to tell me. So? I said, what happens when I say, what do you want? She says, I tell you. I say, I'll see what I can do. She says, you mean I don't have to supply it? I said, no. All you do is ask them what they want, and they told you. And if it's reasonable and you can do it, you say, sure. And if you can't, you say, I can't supply that. But you don't push them out of the way or ignore them because you're afraid to ask them, what do you want? You're not obligated, because you say hello to somebody, to do any more than say hello. And it isn't when somebody says, hello, how are you? You might say, I wonder what they mean by that. That's not the process either. They don't care how are you. They're recognizing you. So you can just wave back and they're satisfied. You can ignore them. Some people are satisfied that way too. Says, gee, I'm sure glad they didn't answer, because they might ask me something I couldn't answer. Whew, I'm sure glad. At least I did my duty. I said hello for the whole year. I don't have to say anything else to them again. I'll show them. Wrong approach. That's just you coming back at you, because God, see, this consciousness is doing it all. And when we forget that God designs the dance and God dances it through you, then you get miserable. And that misery, I understand. I see it with a lot of you. But you insist upon keeping it. So what can I possibly do? Except say, how's your misery today? Say, very well, thank you. How's yours? Well, not as good as yours. You know, it is the old joke. What do you take for your cold? What do you offer? I said, I don't mean that. I mean, how's your cold? As well as anybody else's. What difference does it make? It's not me anyway. It's just my nose, my throat. What are you doing about it? I'm resting them. I'm letting them clean themselves out. I'm not going to stand in their way. I don't want to give it to you. Why? Because I'm taking care of me and I'm taking care of you. I don't want to dump it on you, but I'm going to anyway. It's like, no, don't dump it on me. Who can I dump it on? Dump it on yourself. You're the one that created it. It's compost. Grow new out of it. Grow new out of it. Everything that comes your way, truly everything, is just another rung of the ladder of opening you. And if somebody steps on your fingers as you reach up for another rung, don't swear at them, but watch where you put your hands so they can't step on them. And you watch. If you see some person who gets out of the car and they slam the door behind them without looking, you wait till they get through their whole ritual of getting out, and then you open the door to get out. But if you put your hands there, they're going to slam them on you every time. And if you like to have your finger slammed, you do that. Once was enough for me. Once. However, I did do it a couple more times because other people need that experience of slamming the door on my fingers. Who am I to deny them their divine expression? That wasn't half bad, though, because it didn't hurt as bad as I thought it would. What hurt afterwards is when it got all bloody into there and they had to cut it to let the blood out. Oh, that's what hurts. Oh, that's misery. Oh, you all know something about that. But that wasn't half bad as other people saying, what happened to your finger? Oh, I'll bet that hurt. That's terrible looking. Ooh, God, that's ugly. Don't let me look at it. You want to look at one of the other ones? I'll just keep it hidden back there. You know, remember they do that and or you ran, somebody hit you? What happened? I ran to a doorknob. Why are you doing that low? I bend over. Yeah, sure. Somebody hit you. And they say, why'd you do your eyes? I say, somebody hit me. I say, I don't believe that. Say, what else? Think I was bent over and the doorknob hit me? Often that thing that just comes out and tells the truth so disarms people that they enter into the truth with you. They'll enter into it with you, and then you start conducting divine energy. This conductivity is what keeps you going and wants you to participate in life, to participate in God all over with God in all the lives. But is that practical? No. But it is practical to participate in your own life. How do you do that? Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Is that all? It's a good start. Anything else? Yes, there's a lot of things depending upon where you're going, who you're going with, and when you want to get there. Then we enter into a new ball game of unfoldment. But first we must recognize the divine that is in us. Some people say, but I don't believe that. It's like, well, what do you think runs your body when you've gone to sleep? Say, the subconscious, what's that? So, well, that's what runs my body when I'm asleep. I said, that's what we call the divine. I said, oh, okay. I'll just call it the subconscious. I said, I don't care what you call it. That's what's doing it. I said, well, who runs it when I'm awake? You. Well, that's not the subconscious. No, but that's still the divine. It's just a different process. The dog is going to come out the same. You can determine it very easily. We can enter into that is the destruction of the ego. We can enter into that is the destroying of the desires. We can enter into that is a sacrifice of the self. And when you've got through doing those three approaches, that's what you've got, those three approaches. because you are not living the love that you are, which is the divine. And I don't care what path you go on or what path you study or what kind of manipulations they've got going or what kind of techniques or spiritual exercises or anything else, if you're not loving as you do it, you do nothing. People came up to me and they said, "Oh, John Roger, I'm really growing." I said, "You are?" And they said, "Yes, I was sitting looking at all these things around the people. I saw these lights and these colors and these forms, and it was really great." I said, "Is that all?" And they said, "Yes." I said, "Didn't you love them?" They said, "Oh, I forgot." And I said, "Then there is no value in your idiocy of looking at auras, lights, colors, or anything else. And if you're loving them, you don't care if you see anything else. For love will see itself. And love will do itself. And all you do is sit there and let it radiate through you. And you can sit there not smiling, but sit there, and it will radiate through you. That's how you recognize the spiritual one. They will just let it radiate through them. And that's the process of living love. That's the total path. Not the path of destroy the ego, destroy desires, destroy the mind, become a fanatic. It is that total path. Because after you get through all of those and you rip off all the layers underneath is the loving layer that is that very essence that is the conducting of the divine. And when you're doing that, you are sitting right in the center of creation. Whether you see it or not has nothing at all to do about it. You are that very foundation, that focal point by which things revolve. And besides, it's very practical to be God. Beirush Beishan.
John Rogers' closing words were Beirush Beishan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.